Let's pray. Father, you are a great God, and you show your greatness every day in every way. And this time of the year, we see your greatness, Lord. We see the change of the seasons. We see how you have so ordered things that one season turns to the next as surely as one season turns to the next. I guess that's the only way to say it. You are great, and you have created a great universe, a great place, a great order of things, Lord. But we know one thing, Lord. We know that as great as this place is, that this earth, this planet, and all that you give us with it, and all that it supplies us, it's not our home. It's temporary. We're tenants. We're living in a long-term hotel arrangement, Lord. And Father, we know that that someday we will see you, we'll be with you, and that is our that's what we were designed for, Lord. This place is not our home. It's not our it's not the place we were intended to reside permanently, as pleasant as it is. Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your provision for all of our needs. We pray for this service today. We pray that you would be with our speaker, that you would send your spirit to be upon him so that he will boldly proclaim to us the things that we need to hear. And we ask it in Jesus' name. But before David comes up, if I can, there was just one more announcement that I forgot to mention, and that is that we still need the parsonage. Is a lot of work's been done on the parsonage, but a lot of work needs to be done. We need painting, power washing. Tony, I can do the power washing. I have a power washer. Tree brush trimming, weeding, just cleaning, some. Maybe if anybody's handy with some plumbing, those kinds of things, and whatever we can't do ourselves, we'll have someone else do. So if you want to be involved in that, talk to Tony over at Tony Kubek. Put your hand up, Tony. That's Tony. One more thing, please check your contact information in the NBC phone directory. They're found on both of the welcome tables. A lot of that information gets outdated. If your information is outdated, please update. I don't know, Linda, can you, I don't know, are you in charge of updating that? So you can talk to Linda if your phone number's changed or if your address has changed. You can write it right in there. Oh, there you go. And then how does it magically appear in all the other copies, Linda? Oh, nice. I thought it was like those whiteboards at school where the teacher writes it on the board and then it shows up on your pad automatically. No. Okay. Youth group meets tomorrow at 7 o'clock. We have a food pantry, and we have a lot of things that are donated. And some of the things we have are... were school supplies that were donated, but they came in a little late, and so they're available. If anybody needs any free or gently used school supplies, they're in the men's boys' clothing room downstairs, and you can feel free to help yourself. Okay? Now, I'm sorry, David, if you would.
Well, good morning, everybody. A little lopsided here today, aren't we? Looking at this here, we'll try to balance things out here as we go along. What do you say? I've got an announcement that I'd like to give to you. I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds, but something that the Lord laid on my heart a while back, earlier this year, actually end of last year, started working on it, but I'm going to be putting on a seminar at the chapel the word's being sent out to area churches too, to invite folks to come in. It's going to be on a Saturday morning, September 28th, from 8 o'clock in the morning till noon. And the title is Let's Talk. Let's talk about the things we don't want to talk about. Because one of the things I'm finding in my ministry of being with people in times of distress, times of life may be drawing short for many, one of the things that I'm finding is people are not prepared. My biggest concern is to be prepared spiritually. But I think that we also need to be good stewards of our lives right up through, okay, all that this time that we have. And as John prayed here a little bit ago, life is temporary here. And we don't know when our life is going to end here. And so what I'm finding is that people haven't talked about it. They haven't made their wishes known. They haven't decided what they're going to do or what they would like to have done to leave a lasting testimony, because whether we live or we die unto the Lord. And so we need to be prepared. So I'm talking real frank talk here, okay? So on that morning, we're going to have six different topics covered in 4 hours. And take a break in there, too. So it's going to be fast moving. We're not going to solve all the people's problems, but we're going to give you the items to talk about when you get home. And it's primarily geared for people 50 and above, but I'm hoping and praying that younger family members will also come in with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, so that you can lay the foundation of what needs to be discussed once you get home. And then we'll be available subsequently to that to help people walk through it. So I don't know how many of you know what the difference between hospice and palliative care is. But a lot of people don't. And a lot of people hear the word hospice and they think, only got days, weeks to live. Not necessarily so. I can tell you that from experience, okay? But they will help in giving some quality of life as long as you've got it. So I want you to know about those services. And we got the director of the clinical outreach is coming in to speak to us about that. Memory care, huge problem today as Americans are growing older. Early memory loss, I'm suffering that already to some degree. I hear your names. I can't remember it for next week. Sorry about that. But memory loss, and then dementia, and ultimately Alzheimer's. So we have a gal coming in to speak about that. Legal planning. We have Dave White, who is a lawyer who does a lot of family law, practices all kinds of law, but a lot of family law, who has helped me and my wife take care of some of these things and what documents we need. And what I found out when we recently redid some of ours is that things get outdated, and you need to be aware of what the most current documents are that should be done. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss funeral planning, because when all of a sudden someone dies and you got to make those plans, you don't know where to begin. Had that happen this week. On Thursday, I was with a gentleman at Roswell, 64 years of age. On Friday, he was with the Lord. His wife called me Friday morning and says, I don't know where to begin. Okay? Don't know where to begin. And these are things that could be thought out ahead of time. Because we start basing a lot of things on emotions rather than on good principles and things that we want to have done. And family, I see families torn apart by a lot of these issues. All right? Those left behind. Elder driving concerns. How about that one? Huh? When is it time to give up our license? Or what if the person doesn't give up their license and they should give up their license? Because, driving is a form of our independence, right? How do we navigate through that as a family or as the individual? Hopefully, as the individual, we'll make up their mind ahead of time, when it's time to hang them up. So elder driving concerns, we have a doctor coming in and speaking about how we can navigate through that process. And then we're going to have a person coming in and talking about progressive care. In other words, when is it time to give up our house and then move maybe into a senior apartment? I know some of you are here that I've talked to already in senior apartments, but we go from senior apartments and then perhaps into assisted living into advanced care and so forth. So those are the six topics that are going to be done. We'd love to have you come if you're interested in it. Just go to thechapel.com, register, and you'll see the program down there. There is a cost. It's $7 for the first person, and then $3 for all the people you want to register on there. So if other family members will come with you, that would be great, okay? So we would love to invite you to that. So as long as I'm here for the next few weeks, I don't know how many weeks that will be, but I want to do a series on foundational truths. So some of this may be a bit of review for some of you, but I find sometimes we get in a rut and we just kind of go through things and we really don't know, we aren't spending the time and able to explain ourselves why we believe what we believe, if in fact you do believe it, all right? And so it's very important that we have those foundational truths to build our lives on. And to me, the most important of all the foundational truths that we can, as a church, pursue is the truth of the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Bible, all right? You got to have something to begin on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. I didn't hear too many people saying that, but I'm glad to hear a few of you. Hearing by the Word of God. So our faith has to be founded on the Word of God. If we try to build a faith structure on anything other than the Word of God, it can crumble on us. If you try to build your faith structure on your family background or your heritage, it can crumble real fast on you. But if you build it on the Word of God, it's sure, it's solid. It kind of reminds me of a story, or I guess it's called a story, meant to be a kind of a joke, about God's promises. So there was a little old lady who had a lazy and unworthy method of using the Bible for help and guidance. I hope I'm not talking about any of you folks here, ladies or men, all right? When she was passing through a time of need and looking for divine guidance, she would take her Bible, she would open it up like this, and wherever it fell, she would kind of run her fingers down through and said, that's the verse, so that's what I need for today. And when she did that the first time, she'd say, okay, Lord, give me the right verse to comfort me. The Bible fell open, and she read this. And Judas went out and hanged himself. Quickly, she closed the Bible up, and she said, Lord, that was not at all fitting. Give me another verse. So she let the Bible fall open again, and the verse that she read was, go and do thou likewise. Now she was very upset. So one more time she prayed. The Bible fell open and her eyes read, what thou doest, do quickly. Needless to say, that's not the way to study the Word of God, is it? It's not the way to study the Word of God. You know, what time do you spend in the Word of God? I've asked you for the last weeks that I've been here, how many of you invited somebody to come to church? I'm not going to ask you that today. I hope you got that principle. You probably came in since he's going to be asking, what am I going to say? You know, you're looking for a new pastor. I'm praying for this church. I think there's hope here. I think there's hope to see this back to the era when you were many more here. But if you think the pastor's going to do it all, I'm going to tell you right now, you're dead wrong. Dead wrong. It's just not going to happen. And when I said the first week I came, I see a lot of gray heads here. All right? We got to do something about that. Or I'm going to tell you, this beautiful facility and this testimony in this community will not be here long. See, I'm an outsider. I'm going to tell you like it is. I've been around the block a few times, as they say. You've got to get your priorities straight. And it's going to begin with the Word of God. We talk about having coming to Sunday morning service. We talk about having Sunday school for adults and children. We talk about an evening service. We talk about midweek services. If you're going to come in and expect to just hear preaching and teaching and not do anything with it, it's not going to go anywhere. We need to be doers of the Word of God. The Word of God is a living organism. It lives within us. And you need to know that. You need to grab a hold of that. To spend time in a Word is important. Yes, we need to put fuel in a tank, but then you got to put your foot to the pedal and make it go. There has to be some action there. And so a key verse of Scripture for today would be 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And I'm sure this is a verse of Scripture to many of you. It's very well known. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. That's what it means, inspired. God spake to holy men of God old as they were moved by His Spirit. God moved on them and they spoke. I try to make it a practice every year to read through Scriptures again. And I was reminded by my dad when he was still alive, David, don't just read for the sake of reading. Let it speak to you when you're reading. But I'm in a book of Ezekiel right now. All right? I'm going to tell you something. The book of Ezekiel, for the last few nights as I've been reading it before I lay my head on my pillow, has really begun to hit me. Because it keeps saying, and the Lord God spake to His servant. The Lord God spake to His servant. The Lord God spake to His servant. And what was His servant saying? Much like I'm kind of telling you today, kind of like, get your act together. That's what He was telling Israel. Get your act together. You know what? They didn't do it. You know what that led them? Years of captivity. Years of captivity. Because they didn't listen to the servant of God and do something about it. Very important. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the people of God or the man of God may be complete, furnished unto all good works. And so, I want to begin with the thought that the Word of God has authority to it. There's authority behind it. This book is from God. There's authority to it. People can say, I don't believe that, or that's just a bunch of fables or whatever. It's still authoritative. I'm not a lawyer, but I know this, that the books of the law for our state and for our country have authority behind it. We go to them, don't we? We depend on that to state what it says, and we have to live by that. And there's consequences if we don't. I can say, I know that our country has tax laws. And I whether I believe the Bible where it says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and that which is God unto God, whether I want to believe that or not, I can say, I just don't think I want to pay my taxes. Try that for a couple of years. Or right now, the school tax bill is coming out, right? This time of year. School taxes show up in our mailbox. We can say, well, you know, I'm glad they got that school down there. Here, many of you are in Alden or Clarence. Glad we got our schools. It's all good. Listen, you got to pay the bills. Got to happen. Say, I don't think I'm going to pay that this time. I'm going to tell you something. It's going to get paid one way or the other. I'm working through a case right now with, I'll call them family members. We really aren't family, but we've been like family for years. But a gentleman passed away going on 3 years now, and the estate is just coming up to be finalized now. We've had some issues been going on with this thing. He had just a couple of family members. They were distant cousins. That was it. And so it's really been a complicated thing to go through. But now that we're down at the end, you know what we got to do? Go back and pay the taxes. Go back and pay the taxes, because the last year, 2 years actually, that he was alive, a year and a half that he was alive, the taxes weren't paid. And now we've gone beyond that, and so the taxes have to be paid. Why? Because there's authority behind the law. You got it? There's authority behind this book, God's words. It's the ultimate authority. The Bible carries the weight of God's authority because it's inspired, it's God-breathed. He said it. I heard a story in my first church by a gentleman that was a big guy and a big businessman, well-known in our community, and we were in a large community outside of Philadelphia. But he was an ex-Marine, and he talked about when he was in the military, there was a black officer, African-American officer, that a white underling did not want to salute because he was black. And that officer, with wisdom, I believe, as I was told the story, took his uniform off, and he took it over, and he hung it on a tree. And he backed up, said, "Salute." Why? Those stripes mean something. Those stripes mean something. Regardless of what they're on, it means something. There's authority. The Word of God has authority. And without the authority of the Bible, we can have no faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Without faith, we're still dead in trespasses and sins. By Christ's resurrection that we learn about in His Word, we have been declared righteous. Listen to the words of Romans 4, 25. Talks about who, meaning Christ, was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Big word, justification. It means just as if I had never sinned. To be declared righteous. Isn't that cool? God has declared that by His resurrection, the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, we are declared as righteous once we put our faith in Him. That's good. That's good news for us today. Because, you know what? We all have our stories. We all have our past. But one day, we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that God the Father looks down and says, "That person, they're okay. Sins forgiven. Cleaned up. Cleaned up. Declared right as a right one or righteous." The Bible is the true revelation of God that carries His authority, and it can be completely trusted. It's good for doctrine. The word doctrine simply means teaching. Want to know what we need to do? Read the Bible. I'm afraid that our society has gone back to like Israel of old, in the days of the judges. They were doing that which was right in their own eyes. But what's right in your eyes and what's right in my eyes might be two different things. Politics today has taken us and it's divided our country, hasn't it? And what are we saying? What's going on here? And it goes both sides, by the way, because they want what's right in their eye. What does God have to say about it? What does God have to say about it? We need to keep that in mind, folks. America needs to turn back to God and His Word, the authority of His Word, not what man thinks about it. It's good teaching for us. It's for reproof. That means rebuke. It exposes. It uncovers. If I tell people when they come to know Jesus, you're now a baby. You may be a 50-year-old baby, but you're still a baby, a babe in Christ. And what do babes know? What do babies know? That's one of them. They know when they're hungry, and they'll tell you when they're hungry, won't they? They'll tell you something else. They'll tell you when they're dirty. They'll tell you when they're dirty. And the Bible addresses both of those things. Peter says, as newborn babes, we should desire the sincere milk of the Word of God in order that we might grow. A person that's accepted Jesus and doesn't get themselves in the Word of God, I'm going to tell you something, they're going to be a stunted person. They're going to be a spiritual slow one. Delayed. Stunted. Handicapped. Because they don't know the Word of God. When a person puts their trust in God, I tell them every time, you need to be in the Word of God. In the psalmist we read, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Because they get dirty. By taking heed thereto according to the Word. Because the Word of God will tell us what needs to be cleaned up. The Word of God, powerful, powerful. Correction. The word correction means to make straight. To make straight. And then instruction, that's training. The claim of its authority is verified, and I'm going to give you several things that it's clarified by. It's clarified first in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you some verses from your notes and just jot these down. I'll just quote a couple of them for you, and then you can look them up later if you write them down. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 10 says, the law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. That's the Word of God. Spend time there. How much time you spend in the Word of God? You say, well, that's the pastor's job. He's got all week to study. He doesn't do anything else anyway. Let him just study. Really? Really? We all need to be in the Word of God. And if you do that, this church will flourish. Be doers of the Word. If you fail to do that, I'm going to tell you, Ichabod will be over the door sooner than you think. You know what Ichabod stands for? The glory of the Lord has departed. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Listen, I hope you understand that I love you, and I'm not trying to talk, you know, down to you. I'm trying to tell you the truth of the Word of God. Because there's authority behind it. There's authority behind that word. Psalm 12:6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified seven times. The word of the Lord. The Old Testament declares it. You might turn with me, please, over to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. I want you to look at the words of Jesus himself. In Matthew 22, beginning at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose son is he? The son of David, they replied. He said to them, how is it then that David, speaking by the Spirit, calls him Lord? For he says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how can he be his own, be his son? You see, Jesus recognized the truth of the Old Testament as he'd spoken, as God had spoken through David. He quoted that. And then we have the words of the apostles. The words of the apostles. Jesus gave them authority to speak on his behalf. In John 14, 25 and 26, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The apostles knew that God would give them what needed to be said. I'm going to tell you something. God will give you what you need to say too. People say, I'm afraid to go out and talk to somebody about Jesus. I'm afraid I'll say something wrong. God will give you what you need to say. God will give it to you. Simple. Trust him. He's put you in that spot for that moment in time. Watch what he does. Watch what he does. Listen, the older I get, the more amazed I am of how God orchestrates words and actions and deeds. The other day, I mentioned a gentleman that passed away this week at age 64. So I saw him on Thursday, I asked another gentleman to go visit him. I have three other men that do what I do, but I'm on staff. They aren't, but they're volunteers, and God has sent them to me, and they're just a blessing to me to come alongside of me. You can't be every place all the time. So I asked my friend John if he would go to Roswell and visit this individual. He writes me back. He says, David, so good to go in with that couple. Husband and wife are both there. He's the sick one. He said, I've known them 20 years ago. I knew them 20 years ago. What a time of reunion they had before this man went to be with the Lord. I could have asked other people to go, but instead God led to a person. I didn't know any of that. I just said, will you go and see this person? And he goes, he said, we knew each other. We used to be in the same church. How cool is that? And God puts the words for him to say to them and comfort them. And then when he died, the now widow calls him and me to tell us both that he was with the Lord. The bond that comes because God orchestrates it. He's got the words. And he says here that he was going to put, by his Spirit, the Helper, he was going to put the words in the mouth of the apostles. And so what we read from the mouth of the apostles builds us up because it's God's word. Remember the inspired word of God. John 20, 21 says, Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And then Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. You know that, the Great Commission, right? All authority has been unto me in heaven. But he says, now you go. I put my authority upon you. You go. That's to all of us who are followers of Jesus. The disciples that we've talked about for the last few weeks, being a disciple, a follower of Christ, we are to go. And so I look at some of these particulars. Peter, in 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2, I now write to you this second epistle, Peter says, that you may be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, I'm reminding you what the old prophets said and what the apostles are saying. I'm bringing them to your attention. Listen to them. And then he goes on, and he says in 2 Peter 3:16, and Peter is referring to Paul. They're close, all right? Peter's referring to Paul. He He says, as also all, in all of his epistles, speaking in them these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You ever find sometimes the word of God is a little hard to understand? Even Paul's writing. Get in the book of 1 Corinthians and start studying 1 Corinthians. Or the book of Galatians. All right? There's some pretty easy stuff in there, but there's some pretty hard stuff. You get into that and say, you know, what's going on here? All right? What is he referring to? We start talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Paul talks about that in Romans and in Corinthians. Start talking about that. And how are some of these things distorted? And let me tell you, they are. Unless we look at the whole of the Scripture and see where it's going and how God has orchestrated and put this all together, we're going to have a distorted view of even the gifts of the Spirit. That's subjects for another time. And then we get from Peter, let's look at what John has to say. If I go to 1 John, not the Gospel of John now, but the first epistle, chapter 1, and verses 1 through 5. I'm just going to read these verses quickly for you. Hey, fingers going here through the pages of the scriptures. That which is from the beginning, John says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. John is using a kind of a law approach to things. There's testimony. You know what testimony is? Go to the court of law, they want to hear testimony, want to hear the facts, they want to hear the truth. What are the facts? John's saying, I have seen it, I have been there, I witnessed it. What's the best facts that you can take today? I have been there, I have seen it, I know what God has done in my life. This is what God is up to for me. You can believe whatever you want, but I know what God's done in my life. Do you know what God's done in your life? Has he taken you from darkness to light? If he has, you ought to be declaring that, because people are walking in darkness today. But light can shine in the midst of the darkness. You have a message of hope. We've got that. Listen, everybody should be willing and ready to tell their own grace story. The story of grace, how grace has touched you. We share that to others. We share that to family members, hardest ones, really, right? Hardest people to reach is our own families. They know us too well. They still want to judge back. But as we tell what God has done, I love Southern gospel music. I don't know how many of you like Southern gospel music, but I like Southern gospel music. But I love the song that George Younts sings, This Old House. He goes back in the old house. He says, you know what? I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man that I used to be. I once was this. Now I'm this. By the grace of God. He's moved. He's worked in my life. He's set me free. I'm not the same daddy that I used to be. I'm not the same husband that I used to be. Or it could be the other way around, mommy, wife. He set me free. He's given me a hope, and he's given me a joy, and he's given me a life. That's what the power of the Word of God does when we come. And so these apostles are all bearing witness to that. Second John, there's only one chapter. Verse 10 says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Those are strong words, aren't they? When there's people that want to come around and want to try to give other doctrine, and you know that it's not true. Why? Because you are in the Word of God. When these cultists come down the blocks and they come to our houses and knocking, we say they're out doing God's work, and it's so wonderful that they're doing God's work. Do not let them into your house, the Word of God says. Why? They're bringing another doctrine. And do you know what that other doctrine is? See, you need to know what you believe and why, and based on the Word of God. They can use the name of God, but it's not the same God that we know, in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's His Word. That's His Word. And then I'm going to look at look at John's words in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. There's authority here, isn't there? So don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Sometimes I get concerned about the things I don't understand. I got enough problems with the things I do understand. Just do it. Whether you understand or not, just do it. The Apostle Paul, let's look at him for just a moment. 1 Timothy 5:18, he was quoting from Deuteronomy 25 and also from John 10. But in 1 Corinthians 14:37, it says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Are the commandments of the Lord. The Apostle Paul. I could go beyond the people of scriptures that we know, even the early church fathers. Clement of Rome, who lived back in the first century. Ignatius of Antioch. Polycarp of Smyrna, the bishop of Smyrna, 60 A.D., I've studied all of them somewhat, but I love this account of Polycarp. It touches my heart every time I think about a man named Polycarp. All right? Polycarp took his stand for the gospel. And he was taken prisoner for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's taken out to the stake, and he's about to be burned to the stake. And the authority says to him, renounce what you've been teaching and you will live. Polycarp, who was over 70 years of age at the time, says, how can I deny my Lord and my God? He's done me nothing but good. And with that, they lit the fire and he died at the stake. On what authority? Because he knew what lie ahead of him. He had life. Man can take it away, but God gives. He restores. And then we have even the reformers, which gets a little bit more current day. As the reformers were coming along, and we call them the reformers because at one point they were all parts of the Roman church, but then they were coming out of the Roman church, and all of them would find certain parts of the teaching of the church that did not line up with what the Word of God said. Martin Luther, what did he say? What was his mantra? The just shall live by faith, not works, because religion's about works. He said it's about the faith in Jesus Christ. I want to know if you're prepared to explain why you have the right to refute the claims of Scripture. What is your motive for refuting Scripture? I want to close with the Gospel of John, chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 37 to 40. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one that he sent. You study the Scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You study the Scriptures, but you refuse. You refuse to believe what it's testifying about. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the religious rulers, the Pharisees, who studied the Torah. The Torah, we know it as the first five books of the Bible, the law. But it's teaching. It's the books of the teaching. Because of what God was teaching how to keep man straight. Oh, we just do the law. We follow the law. Jesus said, but you're denying the person that is the fulfillment of all of the law. The one that the Father has sent, person of Jesus. The Word of God will lead you to Jesus. Lead you to Jesus. But you got to know the word. Be ye therefore doers of the word and not hearers only. Because if that's the case, all you're doing is deceiving yourself. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Close your eyes with me, please. The word of God is powerful. It's living. It's alive. The Word of God speaks into our hearts. What place does the Word of God play in your heart today? I want to take just a moment of silence, and I want you to say, Lord, speak to me through your Word. Do that right now. So God, your word gives life. I am so grateful today for the life that I have in Jesus. For the work over these years that you've given to me to bring me into that relationship with you. And I could only long that this would be the case for all of my new friends here at Millgrove. But Lord, you know each heart. Let us not just do church. Let us do the Word of God. Move and speak by your Spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, folks.
Okay, let's stand for worship, please.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be Be thou my wisdom and thy my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, by thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. High King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joy, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Be thou my vision. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all.
Thank you, ladies. Please be seated. Father, we don't often think of giving as an act of worship, but it really is. Your word tells us that, and it is a way that we can express our love and our adoration for you by giving to you so that your work can go forward. We ask that as we give now, you would bless everyone who gives, bless those who cannot give, and we ask you to use these gifts for the furtherance of your kingdom, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Leah. Let's pray. Father, once again, we've been challenged today, but we haven't heard anything we don't know. we thank you for your word as we heard today. We thank you that it's true and it's live, and we ask your forgiveness for not treating it properly and not spending the time in it that we ought to and not understanding it. So, Father, we just we pray that this week, even, Lord, that you would encourage us to spend time in your word, to understand it, to know what it has to say to our lives, and to apply it to our lives. And we ask you to bless us now as we go our separate ways. Bless the classes, bless all the activities for the rest of the day, Lord, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.